process is actually the process that was set up when the Objective Design Standards Project was adopted back in 2024. So it set the thresholds for review of housing projects at these thresholds. So if you have greater than 40, 50 units or more, you do go through the Planning Commission process, which is a discretionary process. Less than that goes through the CLEAR process, assuming you're following all of the Objective Design Standards. We've also got that process where if you choose not to follow all of those standards, you can go through a modification process, which is discretionary.
Okay, so the code standards that you're referencing there are the Objective Design Standards we worked on that are related to the design as opposed to, say, building code or other things.
Correct, yes.
Okay, and going through, first of all, kudos that simplify, streamline, make it easier to find stuff for everybody to comply. A ton of work. Am I correct in understanding that this code is functionally has the same structure that it's had since the city was incorporated?
Largely, yes. Zoning codes tend to have a kind of natural state of being. The tricky part, I think, with your code, and it was set up that way back in 1983, the tricky part is as amendments happen, placeholders were not left to allow those to slot into the right places. So we are moving some things around, so it will be a total kind of redoing of things, but there's a lot that lives in a similar structure.
Okay, so essentially, this thing is about as old as the downtown fire station, and it's time for a tear down and rebuild. Okay, got that. One other thing I just want to note for, I think that this is for future reference, but that we've, with the Objective Design Standards in particular, and the other streamlining efforts that we've done, and the ability of projects to get exemptions through state-approved exemptions of various kinds. The role of the design review committee has shrunk to almost nothing. I think it's met. I chair that, and I think once, right? Okay, since in the last 13 months. So it is something. I mean, we don't necessarily have to revisit it in this process, but it is something that the council, I think, should revisit. Probably at our next strategic planning session in next January, to see, do we even need this thing? Does it have a role? Is it worth bothering to create this structure and have everybody do Form 700 and, all that stuff? Will staff be prepared to make a recommendation on that at a later point, or is there a reason that we should have that discussion during the course of these code amendments that you're doing now?
I think we can look with Genevieve at what that might entail in terms of this code reorganization. I think if we start taking things apart too much, we might unravel some things and prolong our process, but it's definitely on our radar to discuss. And if it happens to dovetail into this code text project, we can certainly bring some of that back for discussion.
Sure. I'm not trying to work myself out of a job on that, but I just have noticed that if we're not using it, maybe we don't need it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Newsom?
I have no questions.
Okay. Thank you. I'd have some questions. And speaking of the DRC, you mentioned somewhere in where you did mention DRC, you mentioned about DRC approvals. And it was kind of had been my basic understanding of the role of the DRC in having been on it at one period. The purpose of the DRC was to provide basically free guidance back to applicants, so that they get a preview of what two council members and two planning commissioners thought. So it basically advised, it didn't make approvals. So I was a little confused about the wording of approvals in here. And I'm tacking on to Councilmember Funk's comments that, I mean, if we're not using it or we're not using it in that way, what is it accomplishing? I mean, I thought it was useful to applicants because, again, it's a free look, because in some cities they charge $1,000 or something to go to before a design review committee. So we were doing folks, giving them kind of a free look, if you will. But am I correct in that its purpose was not to do approvals?
Yes. So that was also something that stumped me when I found that the approvals for entitlements expired after a year. So I think at some point in time, maybe the DRC was written in a different way. But the function is as you have outlined it, as a recommending body, and give that feedback when the community development director is the acting body on that. And so that's one of the efforts of this process as well, is to make that clear. If you do have the DRC, we want to make clear what their role is and what their charge is, because it's a little unclear in your code right now.
Okay. And does that need to be done then before we adopt the general plan?
It can be done in conjunction as part of this process. So we had kind of assumed in this process to clarify that role right now and leave that in the code as a recommending body. And so that's been folded into the draft that you'll see in June.
Okay, so I mean, it doesn't have to be done as part of it, but it can be. Okay.
There are no general plan policies that dictate that. So we can do that separately. We could do it, you know, before with the general plan, after the general plan. I think and this is staff opinion, I think that the DRC review process is definitely something that needs revisiting. It is a different time. And when it was created, it had a different intention. And the way it's codified is different than the original intention, and it's also different than how we're using the process today. And the state is also guiding us in a much different position today.
Okay. It's something I would like you to look at then, whether it comes back in June as part of general plan or just in general. I would certainly like you to look at the purpose, function, and how we address the DRC. And I still have questions, but Councilmember Funk, you have something related to this.
Yeah, brief note, just the question has come up a couple times about the one-year project deadline. I think that was put in because there was quite a stretch where DRC projects had no deadline at no expiration date at all. And that became apparent when we had a current local process that hasn't finished construction yet, that was under a DOC approval under Roberta Fonzi, who hasn't been on this council for quite a while now. So this is, just in terms of a matter of the timing of that. We recognize the need for an expiration, and that 1 year was put in. I don't have a big issue with 2 years, although if we're not actually approving anything, the expiration of its approvals is sort of moot. I do also recall that DRC has previously approved fences and things like that that are variances to projects, and I don't see any of that in here. Is that an authority that's no longer needed? Defer to staff on that.
Sure. It's what's considered there under the design review modification director major. Those are those things like fence height exceptions and those design modifications where they are recommending body to the director for formal action.
Okay. So if you could back up on these slides to where you showed the initial 18 current chapters versus So in here, I see some kind of specific things: native tree regulations, adult-oriented business, cannabis, some kind of specific things. And when you go to the proposed six of them, it made me wonder, okay, where do some of those kind of specific types of things land in here into these new chapters? Then you were kind of going along and you showed where native trees ended up. It made me wonder, okay, where do some of those other very specific things like cannabis or adult businesses, where do they end up? What chapter are they now under?
So they were going to end up where they should have been originally before we started tearing and patching our code over the years. But essentially, the chapters 2, 3, and 4 are going to contain those things. Standards for specific uses might have the trees. And it's, you know, regulations applicable to all zoning districts will have many of those aspects. And again, in Chapter 2, some of those things will be in there as well. So if you look at a lot of other municipalities, this is done in the same format they would utilize for those other really specific sections that you see lying out there that we had to kind of patch in.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, the cannabis will end up in Chapter 4. The use-related things, where they are a particular special use, those all end up in Chapter 4. Development standards that apply across the board, those will end up in Chapter 3. But with our hierarchy system, you'll be able to find them quite easily with the new articles.
Okay, got it. All right, thank you. Can you go where you have a little more detail on Chapters 6 and 7? I hope it will prompt me to remember my question here. So that's 6. Because here's where I saw native tree permit under Chapter 6, entitlement processing procedures. And that's what prompted me to wonder, okay, where do these other things land? So given when you talked about things landing under either 2, 3, or 4, why are these ending up in 6?
Good question. So this is the process by which the permits are issued. The actual standards will exist under the appropriate place in Chapter 3 or Chapter 4. This is all about the process of getting the entitlement, not necessarily about the actual development standards for that thing.
So those other specific things I mentioned, like cannabis or adult business or whatever, they don't have a separate processing procedure, whereas native tree permit does have a
Correct.
Separate processing procedure.
Exactly.
Okay. And I'm always look at on the outlook of, you know, trying to have in some ways less things come to council, because native tree permit, I see, you know, we have the non-heritage, the planning commission or the director can make the decision, but it's appealable to the planning commission and then appealable to the city council. But those are appeals with a fee, correct?
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Let's see. I think that's all I had in the way of, oh, actually back up. Go back to the chart that Councilmember Funk asked about, the two different kind of showing the easy process and the long process. Go ahead. You know, it showed the
You're looking at the objective design standard.
Yeah, it was a flow chart. That one. There you go. So in this chart here, you know, we're saying projects that comply with all the standards and are CEQA exempt, you know, they go to construction permit review and they can be approved. But then we're saying if they do not comply with the objective design standards, and I get that's an or greater than 49 units or mixed use projects outside of downtown, they're going to go to the planning commission for a CUP, but it says not CEQA exempt. Not all of these things would apply. I mean, they still might happen to be CEQA exempt, correct?
Still might be. I think construction permit projects are not even subject to CEQA at all. So exempt is probably the wrong word. They are just not subject to CEQA review. And then planning commission entitlements are subject to CEQA review, but they can be exempt through that CEQA process or they can require additional documentation.
And to the extent that as part of the, you know, general plan update and one of the things that we're kind of finishing up now that took months and months is the EIR. There's, you know, a large EIR associated with the general plan update. The premise there is, though, that EIR is going to then make, you know, most projects that are in conformance with the general plan would make them then CEQA exempt, correct?
Correct. And there's actually a new state law CEQA exemption for consistency with a general plan that provides a lot more latitude and flexibility to staff for CEQA exemptions for projects.
Good. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Let's go out and see if we have any public input on this item.
Jeff Oslin, once again, I think this looks great. I have one comment question, and that, of course, is notification. council spent a lot of time, we've spent a lot of time on notification on certain projects so people know what's going on. And this director in the future will do what is needed because council has made it clear. But when this director retires, then it's vague in my eyes on notification. That said, 300 feet. Where I live is about 8/10 of a mile away from, and I'm going to pick on Barrel Creek, which I think is a great project, but I never would have been notified. And if you take Apple Valley right across the street, maybe 50% of those residents would be notified and the others wouldn't because it's outside of 300 feet or even down San Ramon. So I'm just curious if there's another way that that could be worded. Thank you.
I think in there you clarified that the director could expand a notification area, particularly for major projects.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 300 feet would really, like in Apple Valley, would only affect the first row of houses, you know, whose fences back up to Del Rio, I would guess. Maybe a few more. But in a project like that, you could expand the notification area.
Yes, and we're already doing that for projects. We just want to codify what we're already doing. We're already making custom notices every time we look at an application. If we feel that the standards aren't adequate, we actually increase it. Also, in our west side, it's good to note in the RS zoning district, it's 1,000 foot already.
Oh, interesting.
And so there's already variability based on lot size, essentially. And there's already discretion by us looking at the map and ensuring that an adequate neighborhood has been noticed. But it's nice to have it codified. And I think that was Mr. Oslin's comment, is how do we know going forward? That's why we're codifying some of these things, so it continues to be a sliding scale that's adequate for each neighborhood.
And in that comment where it said the director could expand anything, I assume by extension, then obviously the city manager could as well basically tell you to expand the notification.
Yes.
Because he's picking up that vibe from five individuals. Okay. Got it. All right. Mayor Pro Tem Daris.
Thanks. Just a quick question. So on that, is it stated in there that the radius for notifications is a minimum of 300 or 500 or 1,000 square feet? Because I think by stating it in that manner, then it shows that you have discretion to increase it if needed. Is that necessary?
It is listed right now, just to kind of be clear, that all occupants within 300-foot radius must be notified. And then we have the ability to go wider. So, yes, we want to codify that clearly, that here's the standard and we can go wider. And for major projects like general plan and zoning, we're going to go wider anyway.
Okay, as long as it's clear that there is discretion to increase it. Like Apple Valley is a great example because the whole neighborhood is going to be affected by it. But if you only notify a handful of houses, it's kind of doesn't serve the purpose. So then to extend that to whatever radius it is to include the whole thing, then it makes sense. But as long as it's clear that it's a minimum and or the director has the discretion to increase that, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and the reason it's worded that way is that everybody within 300 feet shall receive notification, as that's the state law requirement for these types of actions. And so then our code goes above and beyond to allow the discretion to increase and to allow wider radius in our larger lot zones.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, so this item is simply a receive and update and provide direction. So we don't have to take a motion, but is there any particular direction that any member of the council thinks needs to be provided to staff that beyond what we already discussed? Okay, seeing none, then we will consider that item closed. Is that sufficient for you, staff? Okay, excellent. Then we will move on to our next item, which is actually council announcements and committee reports. And I will start on my right with Councilmember Newsom.
Thank you. I had a slow cog meeting on Wednesday, and some of the topics that were discussed was so windy. Anyways, some of the topics that were discussed at the slow cog were very productive, and that this council be also getting a presentation from slow cog on the 24th agenda. And then we have the city schools meeting coming up next week. And that's it.
Councilmember Funk?
I have nothing to report on my formal committees, but I did want to mention that the mayor's, city manager's task force on the wastewater treatment system is starting to do some tours. And we are being graciously hosted tomorrow by our very own wastewater treatment staff and Public Works Department, so that everyone who's giving us citizen input that, on this process can get a thorough understanding of what the options are and what how some other communities have approached the same issues that we're trying to deal with.
Sounds interesting. I have toured the plant before myself, and it's pretty interesting. Mayor Pro Tem Daris.
Thank you. APCD met, I think, a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, I don't have my notes. I'm going by memory. Two major things that we talked about was well, we selected a chair and vice chair, and then decided that city representatives would again be getting a stipend. They cut it out for a while because of some legal issues, but now the city representatives will get a small stipend for their time and travel to the meeting. And other than that, there was, I think everything else was just business as usual. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Peak.
Yeah, Water Resource Advisory Committee was canceled last week. It looks like there's not going to be a lot of meetings this spring. There's some shakeup over there and their staffing. Looking forward to the City Schools Committee, and you kind of freaked me out with that. You said next week. I don't think it's next week. I'm like, okay. So you got me a little jump scare there. Yeah, just happy Valentine's Day.
Okay. Thank you. And I tomorrow have an Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting. Last week, I went to Central Coast Community Energy, or 3CE, meeting. And at that meeting, the board voted to lower the generation rates, the electricity generation rates that 3CE charges, by an average of 25%. So that is great. Sounds great. Unfortunately, the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission, approved a large increase in what's called the PCIA, or the Power Charge and Difference Adjustment. And people will see that on their bill, and that is money that goes to PG&E. And that pretty much is going to almost, you know, wipe out the most of the of that 25% reduction in the generation rates. However, the good news is that last year, Tascadero benefited that PCIA was very low for our residents. And 3CE saved about $5.5 million for our community in terms of electricity bills compared to PG&E. And this year, that will be substantially less, unfortunately. Next year, we expect the PUC, by their way of doing things, will bring that back in line, and those savings for the community will go back up next year. So the good news is 3CE lowered their rates very substantially. The bad news is that the arcane setting of the PCIA went the other direction and will take away a lot of our savings. So, you know, like I said, last year saved over $5.5 million for residents in our community. So that's a good thing. So, okay, I think that's it. Does any member of the council have any individual determination? Seeing none, we are adjourned.
At this time, AM 1230 KPRL concludes this portion of the Atascadero City Council meeting, brought to you by Idler's Home. More of what you want for your home. Go to idlershome.com. We invite you to join us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month for the Atascadero City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Is heating up at Tachi Palace Casino Resort. Every Thursday in February from 5 to 8 p.m., the cash keeps climbing. The first three Thursdays, three winners will each take home cold hard cash. It all leads up to the grand finale when the keys could be yours. The final Thursday in February, two winners will each win a Cadillac. It's Keys and Cash only at Tachi Palace Casino Resort in Lemoore.
John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, locally owned and operated for over 20 years. Combination of construction, whether it's new construction, remodel, and concrete work, along with pest control, including termites and bird control, and more. Get it done the right way and on time. John Stafford Construction and Pest Control, the one call that does it all. Give John a call, 466-8667.
Touch of Paso, come on down for some home-cooked goodness, the best around. Breakfast and lunch in a little brick house, leaving well fed, that's what we're about. Touch of Paso in Paso Robles, whether you're passing through or you're a local, down on Pine Street, the place to go. My grandma's cooking, Touch of Paso, come see what's cooking at Touch of Paso.
Paso Robles, Templeton, Atascadero. From Parkfield to the coast, you're on the Talk of North County, KPRL.
All right, I'm going to get CBS telling us that Trump lied, and Hakeem Jeffries telling us Trump lied. They're really just arresting innocent American citizens as illegal aliens. Of course, they lie about everything all the time, like psychopaths, but never mind that. I'll get to that. And then temporary protected status. What does that mean to the Democrat Party and the American news media? But I repeat myself. In the meantime, let's go to the telephones. We're at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Lee, calling, perhaps not coincidentally, from Leesburg, Virginia. Lee, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Wow, Chris, great to talk to you. I've been out of the American media bubble for the past few weeks. I've been in Southeast Asia and Thailand. Uh-huh. And, you know, the anti-open borders movement has gone worldwide. Now, they just had an election in Thailand for a parliamentary election there, and the leftists were promoting open borders, making citizens out of, like, Burmese, you know, illegal aliens running into the country, because they're doing it, the rhetoric of everything you hear about the Democrats is the exact same thing that's going on in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And they just had an election this last Sunday, and the leftists just got walloped. I mean, they got absolutely crushed. And now they're out and using the same rhetoric as Jasmine Crockett, calling everybody nativists, saying, you know, you're a bunch of hicks, you're a bunch of losers, you won't accept change. All the garbage, every single thing you hear here in America, you're hearing in Thailand. But people, man, all the propaganda media over there was pushing this. They have these two parties that I'll just call them orange and blue. Blue being kind of like Thai. I love Thai. And the other is called the progressives, the orange. And, you know, all the rhetoric and all the news I've been listening to over there, and it was just, you know, awful. And they just quietly, the people of Thailand just came out and just freaking crushed them. Wow. So, you know, the movement is worldwide, and, you know, the themes are the same. And, you know, people, you know, in Thailand, they love their country, and it's no different here in America. We love our culture. We want to have borders. We want to have law and order. And it's no different, you know. So, you know, people here in America, it's just natural, you know. It's just the way things are. People love their country, and they want to maintain their culture. They don't want to be importing, alien culture, and then, you know, one of the big issues over there is like the idea that, well, we want the country to be less Thai, and it's like, it's no different than, like, the Super Bowl thing, you know. We want the country to be no longer America, but some other, you know, hyphenated whatever.
Right. You know, you're 100% right, of course, Lee. And we see the same thing in France, in England, in Sweden, in Germany.
This is the Chris Plant Show. Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Sue Guzman, a person detained tonight in the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. FBI agents active in the neighborhood of Annie Guthrie following the release of door cam footage of a masked man at Nancy Guthrie's home. Fox's Trace Gallagher is in Tucson.
Anywhere from 12 to 20 FBI agents that went into Annie Guthrie's neighborhood, canvassing the place, not to Annie Guthrie's house, but to other homes. They were knocking on doors, asking neighbors about their Ring cameras, and then going around talking to different neighbors, showing them pictures.
And also a $50,000 reward is being offered by the FBI. A grand jury reportedly refusing to indict Democratic lawmakers who urge U.S. military members to resist illegal orders. The Justice Department had been investigating Democratic Senators Mark Kelly, Alyssa Slotkin, and four others who are in that video. America's listening to Fox News.
Rotary Club of San Luis Obispo de Tolosa brings acclaimed comedian Dimitri Martin to the pack.
I think a treehouse is really insensitive. That's like killing something and then making one of its friends hold it.
Celebrated for The Overthinker and the film Taking Woodstock, he's coming to the Performing Arts Center at Cal Poly on March 28th. Get your tickets now at packslow.org. It's a night of laugh out loud comedy with Dimitri Martin at the pack, presented by Rotary Club of San Luis Obispo de Tolosa, with proceeds benefiting Rotary Club charities.
Visit Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Enjoy Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, weekday happy hour, and Thursday through Saturday dinner specials. Watch your favorite sports indoors or out. The covered veranda boasts heaters and coolers to fit the season. Deeds is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week with breakfast on weekends. Play at Paso, dine at Deeds. There's no place like it. Paso Robles Golf Club on Country Club Drive in Paso Robles. The Astraea Warbirds Museum has updated its 40-plus vintage military aircraft to honor those who served in the Vietnam conflict. The Astraea Warbirds Museum, home of the Woodland Auto Display, has a multi-million dollar collection and over 20,000 square feet of indoor buildings for the vintage auto and race car enthusiasts. Open Thursday through Sundays, 10 to 4, Dry Creek Road in Paso Robles, and they're always looking for new volunteers. Go to ewarbirds.org.
Hi, this is Marianne Tardif, and I'm just like you, concerned about the dangers of using the internet. Are you thinking about online estate planning? It seems easy. Just fill out some forms, click submit, and you're done. But here's what those websites don't tell you. If your documents aren't done correctly, there's no recourse and no one to help you fix it. And all your personal and financial information is exposed. An online legal assistant doesn't know you, your family, or your unique situation. They're not there to follow up, and they certainly won't be around when your family needs help the most. It's a one-and-done transaction, leaving your loved ones to deal with the fallout if anything goes wrong. I'm Marianne Tardif. Give me a call at 805-451-6683 or matesq@me.com.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Mars Mega Storage, your state-of-the-art storage solution on the Central Coast. Mars Mega Storage can store your RV, boat, car, household, or commercial items in your own fully enclosed unit or covered storage space. Our on-site amenities include security cameras throughout, gate access from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. with your own personal gate code, 17-foot high steel walls for extra security, fully paved, and a wash rack with professional pressure washer, buckets, brushes, and soap, as well as a dump station, all while providing our guests the highest quality of customer service. We encourage you to come see all the guest features we have to offer. At Mars Mega Storage, we strive to give you the best possible storage experience at the best possible price. Big or small, we store it all. Mars Mega Storage, 101 Wilsona Road in Paso Robles. Call us at 467-3200 or visit marsmega.com.
Hey, we're back. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? All right, now let's get those rascally Democrats and all of their dementia. Got a CBS story. CBS News, the new Barry Weiss CBS. They're at CBS looking to undermine Barry Weiss at every possible turn, of course, because she is not considered to be on team Democrat. But remarkable things. And I think I want to get to Hakeem Jeffries before we go too much further. Here is Hakeem Jeffries. He is a radical extremist, leftist, anti-Semite, anti-American. He's, you know, a Democrat, a perfectly mainstream Democrat. And he's the number one Democrat in the House of Representatives. He's anti-American, and here is Hakeem, and he has Trump derangement syndrome up the yin-yang. But here is the lion Sacagawea, Hakeem Jeffries.
Donald Trump and the administration promised that their immigration enforcement policies were going to target violent felons. They lied to the American people. The Trump administration is not targeting violent felons. They're targeting American citizens.
American citizens. Liar.
Communities throughout this country and law-abiding immigrant families.
Liar, liar, lion Sacagawea, just a horrible, filthy, criminal lion Sacagawea. He's a Democrat, leader in the House of Representatives. Hakeem, which is not an old American name, Hakeem Jeffries, mentored in his youth by his uncle, Professor Leonard Jeffries, a famous and virulent anti-Semite. And now here comes Hakeem Jeffries. You should apologize. It's like a fish called Wanda.
At the hearing this week, Trump administration officials should apologize.
No, they shouldn't.
To the American people for using their taxpayer dollars to unleash wicked brutality.
Wicked.
On the American people, and in some cases, kill them in cold blood.
Cold blood. You mean Renee Good, who crashed her car into a federal law enforcement agent when she was shot, and she's the hero of the story, just like Luigi Mangione is the hero of the story, who murdered a healthcare insurance company CEO on a sidewalk in New York because he's angry about insurance or healthcare or whatever it is the Democrats are mentally ill about today. And yeah, you should apologize. And all this, the wicked brutality, he's not even from Boston. He's got wicked brutality. The brutality is wicked. And then, of course, their next hero with his pistol and a backup magazine going out for a second time and violently attacking law enforcement. And he's the hero of the story, and law enforcement, they're the bad guys of the story, the wicked brutality. And in the meantime, the Democrat Party has killed how many people in Chicago and Baltimore and Washington, D.C.? Since Renee Good, somebody should be keeping a running tally on this. I can't do it all. But isn't that amazing? So it's just, it's really, really awful. It's terrible because that terrible Mr. Trump, he's Trump derangement syndrome, unleashing wicked brutality on people, American citizens, killing them in cold blood. This is the leader of the Democrat Party in the Senate, and civil war cannot be far away with this type of Democrat Party leadership. Now, here's the gigantic lie, and CBS News has the story. Camilo Montoyo Galvez has the story at CBS. Not a journalist, a Democrat, a shill. The headline is, less than 14% of those arrested by ICE, you might say fewer than, in Trump's first year back in office, had violent criminal records, documents show. And here they go. Less than 14% of nearly 400,000 immigrants, illegal aliens, arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Why would they arrest legal immigrants? They're busy enough as it is, thanks to the Democrats opening our borders for years on end to every gang everywhere in the world to come into the United States and, you know, rape and murder. But the Democrat Party likes that. So the Immigration Customs Enforcement in President Trump's first year back in the White House had charges or convictions for violent criminal offenses. See, they say less than 14% of nearly 400,000 had charges or convictions for violent criminal offenses, according to an internal document at Homeland Security obtained by CBS News. How did they obtain that? Well, a Democrat at the Department of Homeland Security, of the member of the permanent bureaucracy, the deep state, fed it to Montoya over here at CBS News, knowing that it would be misrepresented and it would be an anti-Trump story. So the official statistics contained in the DHS document, which had not been previously reported publicly, leaked to CBS by an anti-Trump person who's spinning it to be anti-Trump, provide the most detailed look yet into who ICE has arrested during the Trump administration's far-reaching deportation operations across the U.S. Now, here it is, and again, Camilo Montoya Galvez writing the story for the Democrat Party at CBS News. There are a couple of problems with this reporting. Let me go to, for example, Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri, Republican of Missouri, former Attorney General of Missouri, I believe. And Senator Eric Schmidt wrote, interesting, after posting the story. Did you know that none of Laken Riley, Joycelyn Nungary, Rachel Morin's illegal alien killers had any, quote, violent, end quote, criminal history before they murdered American daughters? And that's, you know, we've got Rachel Morin, mother of five, out for a walk in her neighborhood in nearby Maryland, not far from Washington, D.C., raped and murdered. Laken Riley, he was attempting to rape her when he murdered her, bashed her head in with a rock, a 24-year-old nursing student in Georgia. Joycelyn Nungary, more sexual assault and murder. But the Democrats say, hey, didn't have any violent convictions before they murdered these women, and the Democrat Party wants to defend them. So here's the Senator Eric Schmidt pointing out that the murderers of Laken Riley, of Joycelyn Nungary, and of Rachel Morin, those illegal alien murderers and rapists, didn't have any violent criminal history before they actually, that we knew of, before they actually murdered these women. And isn't that amazing? CBS News, with their tweet, DHS data shows 14% of immigrants, meaning illegal aliens, arrested by ICE, why would they arrest legal immigrants, in the past year had been charged or convicted of violent crimes. See, now that's kind of fun, isn't it? Except that, oh gosh, Trump isn't doing it. And as the fascist Democrat leader in the House of Representatives claimed, Hakeem Jeffries, yeah, he lied to us, using taxpayer dollars to brutally kill American citizens. He just he lies about everything because he's a pathological liar. And isn't that amazing? Now, just extraordinary stuff. The Barry Weiss is now being raked over the coals for this. But Jim Hansen on Twitter pointed out, incredibly misleading of the CBS story, incredibly misleading. The real number is nearly 70% have committed ejection, that is to say, deportation-worthy crimes, quote, nonviolent, end quote, offenses CBS ignored include drug trafficking, distribution of child porn, solicitation of minors for sexual abuse, human smuggling, driving under the influence, and CBS left all that out of their stories. They say, hey, wait a minute. If they're just, you know, drunk Indians chugging whiskey and crashing into nuns and killing them, you know, that's just DUI. No problem there. Human smuggling, human trafficking, that's no problem. Solicitation of minors for a sexual purpose, that's a nonviolent crime, the Democrats say, and CBS News is reporting. Distribution of child porn. Oh, okay, that's not a violent crime. No, actually, it is a violent, because child porn is violent, and you're involved in the Democrat industry of child porn. So they say, CBS News and this ridiculous woman at CBS News, who should be fired by Barry Weiss today, Camilo Montoya Galvez. So, well, you know, look, distribution of child porn is not violent. Drug trafficking, that's a nonviolent crime. It's got a huge body count. Human smuggling, nonviolent crime, driving under the influence. I am always reminded when I see that of the illegal alien that crashed into and killed a nun in Virginia a number of years ago now. But it shouldn't be forgotten, as the Democrats would have us do, because... So they're the Democrats, and there's CBS News in this case. Well, let's just leave out the nonviolent drugs of drug trafficking, distribution of child porn, soliciting minors for sex, human smuggling, driving under the influence. And then we can say, hey, only 14% of those arrested by ICE and Trump's first year back had violent crimes. So the Democrats say, let's wait till they murder a young woman, and then we'll take action of some kind. Maybe, right? These people, can I just say, these people, yes, sir. And the Democrats, they want to defund ICE now. That's their plan. They want to defund ICE because that's who they are. They're the open borders people. Senator John Thune, who is the Republican leader in the Senate, and John Thune, Republican, South Dakota. He was on the television last night because the Democrats are about to shut the government down again. The clock is ticking out loud, shut the government down. And the Democrats, because they want to defund ICE. And if they have to defund TSA, Transportation Security Administration of the airports and stuff, they have to defund them at the same time. That's okay, because, you know, they really want open borders. They're pro-Venezuelan gangs, and they're anti-Joycelyn Nungery and Lake and Riley. They don't give a flying hoot about Americans being murdered. Here's Senator John Thune.
Republicans are serious about getting this funding bill done. That's one of the reasons we wanted to provide more time for negotiations. We're just a few days away from the deadline that Democrats chose, and it's very possible we won't have our work finished by then. If Democrats are serious about finding a solution here, they may need to find more time to bring these efforts to a productive conclusion.
They're going to need more time because the clock is ticking out loud, and Thune is trying to be as reasonable as he can. He should stop trying to be as reasonable as he can. The Democrats would shoot his dog with a 12-gauge shotgun if it would get them one more vote in the Senate for some corrupt, bad idea that they've got. But today is Tuesday, and the deadline is Friday. Otherwise, we have another idiotic, stupid. We should cancel all of Congress, fire them all. If they shut down the idiotic government again on Friday, Senator... James Lankford out of Oklahoma on the same topic.
So the funding deadline is this Friday. That was a Democrat demand. They didn't want to fund TSA. They didn't want to fund Secret Service. They don't want to fund FEMA. They don't want to fund any of those if they can also cut off funding to ICE.
They just want to cut off funding to, and if they have to defund FEMA, if they have to defund Secret Service, have to defund TSA at airports and beyond, then that's okay, because they want to defund ICE because they want more murder. And this is a hard and fast rule. More Democrats, more murder. More Democrats, more illegal alien gang members. More Democrats, just open borders and everything else. Now, again, I was looking at, they want to shut down this, they want to shut down that. And then I saw that yesterday the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals actually sided with President Trump, 3-judge panel at the Ninth Circuit Court. Two of the judges appointed by Republican presidents, one of the judges appointed by a Democrat president. And they overturned a lower court ruling that said Trump can't just end temporary protected status for people in the country who came under TPS, temporary protected status. Trump administration allowed to end TPS for three countries, Newsweek magazine. What we know, a federal appeals court in San Francisco on Monday, that's yesterday, temporarily lifted a lower court's block on the Trump administration's plan to end temporary protected status, TPS, for nearly 89,000 immigrants from Honduras, Nepal, and Nicaragua. The Reuters news agency reported the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals paused a December ruling from U.S. District Judge Trina Thompson. Trina Thompson is a Joe Biden appointee who's a radical lefty. She's an African-American woman. And so, well, Trump can't do that, Trump derangement syndrome. Now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco has said, well, no, Trina, you can't do that, but Trump can end the temporary protected status. And listen to this, because this is just nuts. Congress authorized TPS as part of the Immigration Act of 1990. It clears the Department of Homeland Security Secretary to grant legal immigration status to people fleeing countries experiencing civil strife, environmental disasters, or other, quote, extraordinary and temporary conditions, end quote, temporary conditions. And we provide safe haven until it's safe for them to return to their country. Now, here's the thing. Honduras and Nicaragua received temporary protected status in the late 1990s, listen to this, due to the catastrophic Hurricane Mitch. So wait a minute. In 1999, there was a hurricane that hit Nicaragua and Honduras. And now here we are in 2026, and they're still in the country and the United States of America under temporary protected status because there was a hurricane in the 1990s, Newsweek magazine reports. Have they recovered from the hurricane? And I looked it up, which Newsweek magazine didn't do. And it was in 1999, at the end of the 1990s. So it's only, 27 years ago. Hey, there's a hurricane in Honduras and Nicaragua. Their politics are worse than any hurricane. And it was a terrible hurricane, and people died. And it was more than a quarter century ago that they were given temporary protected status. And the Democrats will burn down a synagogue to keep the people that fled Hurricane Mitch more than a quarter century ago. 27 years ago now, they fled Hurricane Mitch, and they're still here under temporary protected status. Democrats use the words, but they don't know what they mean, and they're not on our side.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
President Trump said, "I like Newsmax. You like it too." It's true. Millions of Americans agree with President Trump, and they're switching to Newsmax for the news they can trust. They're watching great shows with Greta, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt, Finnerty, and more. If you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. It's free to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. Get all of President Trump's most important events live. Imagine watching Mike Huckabee's Israel special, our Melania documentary, Clint Eastwood, Charlie Kirk specials, even the movie Jesus of Nazareth by Franco Zeffirelli. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you won't stop. So try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com, then download the app. It's easy. So make the switch to Newsmax Plus today.
Never.
I'm Dr. Howard Levine, director of Cleveland Nasal Sinus and Sleep Center. During cold and flu season, I tell my patients the key to staying well is to pull out germs, mucus, bacteria, and viruses from the nose using the Navage Powered Nasal Irrigator. I irrigate my own nose daily with Navage to stay healthy and after seeing sick patients.
For drug-free congestion relief, trust number one doctor-recommended Navage. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus free premium delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Brought to you by Central Coast Tractor Work. No job is too small, and they work weekends. About a 70% chance of showers, likely tonight and overnight. Lows in the low 40s. And then for your Wednesday, a 50% chance of rain early, then some sunshine, upper 50s. Weather was brought to you by Central Coast Tractor Work. No job is too small. As trends and technology has evolved over time, local radio has remained one of the most effective ways to reach people. 92% of Americans listen to local radio daily. Radio is a companion that reaches people at work, home, and while they're mobile. For advertisers, local radio is cost-effective and is one of the best ways to connect with customers in their local communities. It's simple. Radio is the right choice. KPRL, AM 1230, 99.3 FM.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219-9910.
When you're ready to protect your home or office, JV Roofing is your best choice. JV Roofing has over 20 years of roofing experience, and you can count on them to show up. Whether it's a clay tile roof, metal, PVC, TPO, or shingles, they have you covered. And they're also certified in West Coast decks. Check out the website at jvroofingca.com or call them for a free estimate today. JV Roofing, family owned, licensed, and bonded. 805-674-1383.
Plaza Cleaners in Atascadero and Paso Robles is your local Quality Plus cleaner, and they do it all. Dry cleaning and laundry, pickup and delivery service, Saturday service, and motel service. And they're now open in Atascadero weekdays until 7 and Saturdays until 5 in both locations. In Paso Robles, Niblick Road in the Albertson Shopping Center. And in Atascadero, El Camino Real in the Glen Oaks Plaza. And remember, bring in your American flags, and they'll clean them for free. Plaza Cleaners, Atascadero and Paso Robles.
This hour of the Chris Plant Show on KPRL has been brought to you by H&R Block. Visit any of their locally owned and operated Sloat County offices today.
All right, let us, the Democrats, temporary protected status. Well, trafficking and child porn and human trafficking, those aren't violent crimes. Driving drunk, that's not a violent crime. Why would anybody want to remove somebody from the country just because of those crimes? Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Bob, calling from Tacoma Park, Maryland, one of the most lefty communities in the entire United States of America. Bob, welcome. You're on the Chris Plant Show.
Senor Plunky, if they put Karl Marx on the ballot for city council, he'd get every vote in Tacoma Park.
That's true.
Karl Marx would be the mayor until he was deposed by Stalin. Anyway, the idea that they classify, or they want to sort of like,